Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Samach Gimel. This is a little confusing, but we're going to be learning daf Kuf Samach Beis, daf Kuf Samach Gimel, and daf Kuf Samach Dalet. So we'll be learning Monday's daf, Tuesday's daf, and Wednesday's daf, three short daf. So at the beginning of the week, we began the home stretch of Masechtas Bava Basra, the last perek in the Masechta Periket Pasha. And as we saw, Periket Pasha deals with the laws of shtaris. Although it begins with the word get, it's a little bit misleading. Get, usually you think of in terms of a get isha, but this Tosfos says is one of the places in Shas where you find the word get referring not necessarily to a get isha, a divorce document, but even to an ordinary shtar. And the Mishnah began telling us about two different shtaris that once upon a time were in circulation. There was what was referred to as a get pashut, a simple shtar, and a get mekusher, which was a little bit more complicated. And the Mishnah said that there are nuances in halacha between how the get pashut was prepared and how the get mekusher was prepared. The primary difference was with regards to the chasimos. The get pashut, the Mishnah said, had two edim signed on it, whereas the get mekusher had three. Additionally, the get pashut, edim mitoichoi, the edim would sign on the front of the document, on the bottom, the way Edim traditionally sign on a document, whereas the Get Mekusher, the Edim would sign on the back. The Gemara said, what's the Makar to the Get Pashin and the Get Mekusher? The Gemara attempted to bring Psukim, two Psukim and Sefer Yirmiyo, one Pasuk and Sefer Dvarim, but at the end the Gemara said it's not learned out from Psukim, but rather it was a Takonis Chachamim. It was instituted originally in a place where there were Kehanim, who were nervous, who would impulsively divorce their wives, and once they would divorce their wife, they would calm down. They wouldn't have an ability to take their wife back because there's an isser for a kohen to marry a grusha, and that isser is true even if it's his own grusha. Even machzeh grushasa is something that's going to be awesome. We spoke at the Ha'ara of the Teres Chaim. Teres Chaim said that to the extent that the kohanim divorced their wives because they were bekas, because they were angry, then maybe it should be considered as if it was done shalei midas. And if it was done shalei midas, then maybe the divorce shouldn't even be a divorce. So the Teres Chaim says, you see from here, that if somebody does something mitoich kas, it's considered that it was done midas. Either way, the Gemara digressed into some technicalities in terms of how exactly you prepare shtaris. It's interesting, Periket Pashut talks about shtaris. There's other places in Shas where you learn the sugyas of shtaris. In Yeshiva, they learn in the second Perek of Masechtas Ksubas, but that's the more lamdasha sugyas of shtaris. A lot of Masechtas Gittin deals with shtaris, because a get is a shtar. But here we have the more technical sugyas of shtaris. Either way, three short Dafin dealing with some of the technicalities of exactly how a shtar was prepared. So four lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Samech Aleph Amud Beis. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Kol HaMechakin Kulan. If a sefer, a scribe, prepares a document and he realizes that he made a mistake, so he erases part of the document. So the halach is it's okay. Now we saw on Daf Kuf Samech Aleph Amud Aleph that Rabbi Yochanan said that a sefer is allowed to erase a mistake that he made. However, there's one exception. You can't erase in the area where ordinarily the word Shar V'Kayam would be written. Shar V'Kayam is the sefer's way of saying that this is final, this is a really good shtar, you have nothing to worry about. If the word Shar V'Kayam is erased, that would cause some serious problems. So any place in the shtar where we have to suspect that maybe before this shtar was erased, the word shtar v'kayam were written there, that would cause an issue. But other than that, you're allowed to erase part of a shtar. Stating that, Rabbi Yochanan says that you need to write, the sefer needs to write at the bottom somewhere that we erased parts of the shtar, and he should give the information in terms of what's there. So the fact that there's an erasure there, that in and of itself doesn't bother me, as long as it's not the makom shar v'kayam. Stating that, you do have to acknowledge it in the shtar. Additionally, Rabbi Yochanan said another halacha as it relates to preparing shtar, it's v'tzarech sheyachzir minyanei shel shtar b'shita achreina. The last line, so after a sefer prepares a long document, the bottom line, the very last line, b'shita achreina, should be a little bit of a synopsis of everything that he said. The Rashbam gives us what the nusach is, but the point is that you should just summarize to a degree what exactly. Reuven sold something to Shimon, or Reuven lent money to Shimon. Whatever the point is, just there should be some chazara. And the reason, says the Gemara, my time, because the halach is you're not allowed to learn anything from the Shita Achreina. Being that you can't learn anything from the Shita Achreina, so Rabbi Yochanan is really giving good advice to Seifer. He's saying that if you're going to want to write something important in the shtar, make sure you don't write it on the last line, because you can't learn from the last line. So what should you do with the last line? Make it a chazara, make it a summary. If it's going to be a summary, you don't have to worry, because there's no chiddush in that last line. And like this, if there's a piece of important information that you want should be known, you're not going to lose out by the fact that you wrote on the last line. I mean, the Rashbam says that it's not even so much that you want us to chazar the shtar. That's not the point. The Rashbam, when he talks about sorich he says, Kagoin. It's just like an example of something you could do with the last line. The real emphasis Rabbi Yechon was trying to say was, don't write any important information on the last line. And the reason is because you're not allowed to learn anything from the last line of the shtar. How do you know that? How do you know you're not allowed to learn anything from the last line of the shtar? If the Edim who sign and a regular get poshut on the bottom of the document, if there were space between the Edim signatures and where the shtar ends, that's two lines wide, possible. The shtar is possible. Shita achas, if it's only one line, it's going to be kosher. Fake the Gemara. Why is it that if there are two blank lines between where the shtar ends and where the Edim sign, is the halacha that the shtar is possible? Dilma Mazayef. What do you mean? Very simple. Because we're afraid that you're going to have a shtar with Aiden, you have two empty lines. The malva, let's say, who's holding the shtar, is going to go. He's going to add. Oh, by the way, after I loaned him $1,000, I ended up loaning him another $10,000. Ordinarily, you're going to need Aiden to sign on that. And if it didn't happen, Aiden aren't going to sign. But I already have the signatures. This is sealed, signed, and delivered. It's tailor-made. I have these two empty lines. So the reason that Hirchakesa Aiden, Shnei Shitim, and Aksav puzzle is very intuitive. It's very obvious. Dilma Mazayef Vikosa. Frank the Gemara, Shita Achas Nami Mazayef Vikosa. So for the same price, you shouldn't be able to leave even one line blank. Why is it only two lines? Even one line should be a problem. Ela Lav, Shmami No. You know what the difference between one line and two lines is? Ein Lameidim, Shita Achreina. One line, you will be the last line, and you don't learn anything from the last line. Shmam, you know, that's the raya. That's how we know you can't learn anything from the last line. But the bottom line is, Rabbi Yechon was giving advice to the Sefer. He said that the last line of the shtar, make sure there's no important information. He goes, anything that it says in the last line, you're not allowed to learn from. As a matter of fact, that's why the halacha is that if there's one line of space between the signatures of the Eidim and where the shtar ends, it doesn't disqualify the shtar. Why aren't you worried that we're going to insert some information over there that you already had pre-signatures? It's like pre-authorized, and now the Malva could write whatever he wants to write. The Teretz is this point. Says the Gemara, what about 1.5 lines? What's the Shiloh? Because the Braisa said, two lines is possible. And then the Braisa said, Shita Achas Kosher. So we know two lines is possible. That's too much space between where the shtar ends and where the Edom sign. One line is kosher. What about 1.5? Tashma Hirchik is Edom Shein Shita Possel. The Braisa said that if there was two lines of space, it's possible. Hashita Mechza Kosher. It's Mashma. If it was 1.5, it'd be kosher. But in a Sefer, then again, look at the Sefer. Shita Achas Kosher. It says one Shita is kosher. Hashita umechza pasul. It's mashu 1.5 would be pasul. Elamihal lekalemishvim minasim. From this brisa, you wouldn't be able to learn anything because the brisa is talking about two. It's talking about one. It doesn't say anything about 1.5. And the fact that it says two is pasul, it's mashu 1.5 is kosher. From the fact that it says one is kosher, it's mashma 1.5 is pasul. Either way, lekalemishvim minasim. You can't learn anything from here. My havi. So what is the halacha? 1.5 lines. Is it going to be kosher? Is it going to be pasul tashma? Tan you learn to the brisa. Hirchikes aedim shnei shitim and aksav pasul. If there was two lines of space between where the shtar ends and where the edim sign, the shtar is going to be pasul. Pachas mikan kosher. Anything less than two lines is going to be pasul. So this is already clear that if it's 1.5 lines, which is pachas mikan, it's less than 2.5, it's going to be kosher. So two lines is pasul. Anything less than two lines, even 1.5 lines, is kosher. The Braisa continues, and the Braisa says, "Hoyu arba v'chamisha edim chsuman al ashtar." If you have 4 or 5 edim that are signed on ashtar, v'nimtza echa meam karav apostle, you find out later the one that was a karav or apostle. That loch is the shtar is going to be kosher. The skayim edus b'shar. The shtar is still going to be okay. Tosfos points out that this halacha is really very big chiddush, because ordinarily the rule is if 5 Edom come to Bezdin and nimtza echad meyam karav apostle, what's the halacha? Edusam psula. Everything is batal. The entire edus becomes batal. From this braisa, you see, that's only true when the Edom are walking into Bezdin and they're verbally stating their Eidos. But if they sign on a shtar is going to be different. What's the difference? So there's already a lot of lumdus. There's a piece from Reb Chaim and Sefer to explain the difference between Eidos Baal Peh and Eidos Peshtar. But the point is, the braisa is saying that if you have four or five Edom and you find out that one of them is pasul, being that you still have two for a get pashut or three for a get makusher, as long as you have the amount of Edom that you need and those are kosher, it doesn't bother me that additional Edom signed and those Edom were possible. What's the point? Why are we mentioning this over here? The reason we're mentioning this over here is because we just said that if there's two lines of empty space between where the shtar ends and where the Edom sign, the shtar is going to be possible. There's an eight, says the Braisa. You know what the idea is? You can go and bring an eight possible, even a karev, let him sign, let him fill in the space, and it's not going to be a problem. Because like this, you won't have two lines of empty space. So from that standpoint, you can't be mezayif the shtar will be kosher. Are you going to tell me you have a apostle eight that just signed on the shtar? If apostle eight just signed on the shtar, you messed up the shtar. Because nintza echemim karv apostle, edusim betelo. The teretz is not true. That's only edus balpet. But edus b'shtar, you don't have that halacha. So that's what the price is saying. The ratio of the price is, hirchekeso edim shnei shitim enakzav apostle. If there's two shitim, that's too much space, it's possible. By the way, pachas mikan kosher, and that's how we have the resolution to the ibaya on the top of the yomid, that shita umechza would be kosher, says the braisa, but there's an etza. If you have two shitim of empty space, there's a way around it. What you can do is you can fill it up with eight pasul, and eight pasul will not disqualify the shtar because there's no halacha of nimtza echamim karve pasul edusim b'teila. At the same time, you don't have the shnei shitim, so there's no chshash dumim mezayif. That's a good way to make the shtar kosher. Says the Gemara, nisayele lechiskiya, that this last part of the braisa that says that you can fill up a shtar with edim psulim so that you don't have empty space of shnei shitim and the shtar itself will now be kosher is a right to something Chizkiya said. Chizkiya was talking about a sukkah, completely unrelated. Melo b'kroivim kosher v'al titama shari aver sukkah poysel b'shloisha schach poysel poysel barba. Meaning, the Gemara has a little bit of a fundamental issue with this. You're telling me that if you have nothing there, it's going to be poysel. But if you fill it up with something poysel, then it's going to be kosher, which is a little bit paradoxical. It's a little bit of a chiddush, but that's what Chizkiya said. You find that by sukkah. There's precedence for that. Where do you find that in a sukkah? Because if you have three tfachim of ear space, aver, it's going to be possible. But if you would fill it up with schach possible, then it would actually be okay because the shir schach possible is not three tfachim, it's four tfachim. So you see this idea that something possible could be better than nothing at all. It's the same exact concept as it relates to the shtar. Again, the svar is very simple because when there's empty space, there's a chshash you might be mezayifin. If you have an eight pasul, there's no chshash to be mezayifin. What would be the chshash? Nimtza echemim karv a pasul. That's not an issue by edus shabashtar. Why? We'll leave that for the lamdim. But that's the reality. The reality is it's not a problem. Either way, there's a svar to it. But just from a fundamental standpoint, Chizkiya said, you're going to tell me it can't be that something pasul is better than nothing at all, there's actually precedence for that. Precedence for that, completely unrelated in Hilchos Sukkah. As we turn our attention to the second daf kuf samach gimel, iba iluhu, shnei shitim sha'amru, when we said, yeah, you missed the whole daf, shnei shitim sha'amru, when we say two lines is possible, right? Anything less is kosher. Hein va'aviron, oidil mehein v'loy aviron. When a cipher or Edom would write on a document so they wouldn't just bunch the lines one on top of another. There was a little bit of space in between the two lines. So when we say the shear of two shitas, two lines, is it with the aver that you would usually have in between the two lines? Or no, as long as there's two lines, even if you don't have the aver, still it's going to be okay. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, mistabed heim v'aviron. Mistabed that the only time it's going to be possible is if it's heim v'aviron. These are the heim v'loy aviron, shitachas v'loy aviron, l'may chazia. The whole point is Dilma Mazayef. What's Dilma Mazayef? You may write two lines. One line doesn't concern us because Ein Lameidim Shitachren. You don't learn anything from the last line anyway. So it's all a chash. You may write the two lines. So it has to be Heim Vavir. It has to be in a way where you'll be able to write the two. What was the Havamina? So you shouldn't say the Havamina was that maybe there's a chash. You may write a little smaller. You may bunch it into two lines. But Layaver, you can make something happen. You could maybe squeeze in two lines. But Rav Nachman said not that way. At the end of the day, that the whole point is a real chash you may write the way people ordinarily write, That's something that you only have to worry about if there's two lines. It has to be two lines that are wide enough for an ordinary aid, a man on the street, to be able to write. The Seifer, they were professional writers. They were scribes. So these people knew how to write very small sometimes. So their two shittin were smaller than the two shittin of an eid. So if you have two shittin of a seifer, it's still going to be kosher. The only time it's going to be possible is if the two shittin are wide enough that an ordinary person would be able to write two shittin. And the reason is, my time is called the mezayif. Lav gabi safra azul. Well, mezayif, if someone wants to forge a shtar, he's not going to go to a seifer. A professional is most likely not going to do this for him. He's probably going to find a man on the street, he's going to pay him in a paper bag, and he's going to hook him up. That guy doesn't know how to write like a seifer. You don't have to be so concerned. He knows how to write the way a man on the street knows how to write. That person needs wider lines. So it's shnei shitan, ve'aviram, but what type of lines? The lines that the man on the street, Amar Rab Yitzchak, v'kama, how much aver, Amar Rab Yitzchak, Ben Elazar Kegoin Lechal Lecha, or maybe Lech Lecha, Zeh Al Gabi Zeh Alma Kosovar Shnei Shitin V'Arba Avir. In order for it to be possible, and this is a huge kula, you would need two lines with enough Avir that you can write the word Lecha on the top line and the word Lecha on the bottom line. What's unique about the word Lecha? The Lamed on top needs a whole line of space, and the end of Chaf on the bottom also does. And if you're going to pile up Lecha and Lecha one on top of another, you're going to end up having two lines to write the words, plus you need another four Avirs, because you need that Avir on top of the top Lamed and on bottom of the top end of Chaf, and then you need Avir on the top of the bottom, my good Shlomo, bottom Lamed, and the Avir on the bottom of the bottom end of Chaf. So Kosova, you need Shnei Shitin, two lines, Varba Avirin, and four Avirs. Rav Chiba, Rami, Mishmeidu, Ula, Amak, Goyin, Lamed, Milmalo, V'Chaf, Milmata. No, you don't need enough space, meaning to have the Lamed and an end of Chaf and another Lamed and the end of Chaf. But rather, if you have space for the Lamed on top, and space for the end of Chaf on the bottom, and you also need a third space between the two lines, that already would be enough. Alma kasav ashnei shitin v'shloisha avir. What's the difference? The difference is, do you need two lines between the, or two avers between the two shitin, or do you not need two avers between the two shitin? The first shitin, the Gemara held, you need two avers between the two shitin. Why two? Because you need an aver.
No, for the space between the lines.
What's that?
Is the top of the, is the top, the bottom, and then another one under it for the, for the end of Chaf. It's 3 hours.
It's 3 hours, right.
There's nothing in between. No. There's no separate one in between. The lamed goes into the space that's on the, that's in between. The lamed.
Okay, you have the aver for the top lamed.
For the top of the lamed.
You have the aver for the bottom end of Chaf, so that's two avers. Where's the third aver? Right, the third aver. Right, but here's right. The third aver is going to be between the top lecha and the bottom lecha. But the point is this. Here's the point. He said you can use one aver for the bottom of the top and the chaf and the top of the bottom lamed. They can use the same aver. What do you need two avers for that? The only time you need two avers if the end of chaf and the lamed would meet exactly. You know what? And if that we have to be chayish that maybe he's going to write two lines and he'll figure out a way to get around that. This is a tremendous kula we're saying. You're leaving a shtar exposed. This loiva just borrowed $1,000. He gave the malva a shtar. The malva has edim. There's two empty lines that he could technically go home and write whatever he wants. So we say that if there's two lines, then there's a chash. One line, ein lemet mishitach, right? Two lines then. Even when there's two lines, it has to be wide lines because the likelihood that he's going to get a seifer to do this and write professionally very, very small is not very mistaber. Not just that, you need the aver, because without aver, then it's hard to write. So at the end of the day, but the question is how much aver? So we're saying this tremendous chula. You know how much aver? So much aver that you can write lecha and lecha, and you have to be concerned that the bottom of your end of chaf is going to meet the top of my lamed. So you need two avers in between the top line and the bottom line. What? That's already a bit. Even if you're going to write lech lecha, one on top of the other, but one aver can facilitate the end the chaf from the top line and the lamed from the bottom line. See, he said, I agree with the lecha lecha. You got it now? But Rav Chiya Barami B'Shmei the Ula Amar Ked Lamed Malav Chaf Lamat. So again, Amal Kosovar Shnei Shita V'Shleisha Kavo Amal Kosovar Baruch Ben Levi B'Shita Achas Kosovar Shita achas v'shnei avir. And he's not arguing, by the way, with the halach of ein lamed de meshita achreina. He agrees ein lamed de meshita achreina. But if it's one shita with two avers, that's already similar to two shitin. Over there already there would be a cheshash. So again, what's the halacha? Machloikis. It has to be hein ve'avir. It's two shitin. There's only a problem if there's two shitin. Anything less than two shitin, even a shito mechza, is not going to be a problem. Two shitin has to be hein ve'avirim. The shitin themselves also have to be white shitin. White that the man on the street would be able to write. How much aver? Either it's four avers, three avers, or one line and two avers. That's the most chumer de geshita. That would also be possible according to the last sheet in the Gemara. Nacha Gemara. Amar Rav lo yishanu. Eleven edim looks up. This halacha that two sheetin is possible is true between the edim and the ksav. So if there's two lines of space between where the document ends and where the edim sign, that's when you have this last halacha. That's what this brisa was talking about. Avol ben edim la'asharta. But if there was space between where the edim sign, what comes after the edim? There's one thing that still was on the shtar after the edim, the henpek. That was the asharta. That's when Bezdin said that they verified the chesimas. Right? You think traditionally that if a person has a shtar, an edim sign on the shtar, so now you're good to go. So if I have a shtar that says I loaned somebody $10,000, I have edim sign on the shtar, I don't need anything else. Now, midday raisa, that's true. Edim achsumen al ashtar, nasa kamisha nechkri edusim bebezen. But midrabanan, it's not true. Midrabanan is halacha of kiyum shtaris. Midrabanan is halacha that it's not enough that you have edim, because once upon a time, people started forging signatures, and the rabbanan said that the only way you can ever use a shtar is if you have a bezdin that verifies the chesimas. You need bezdin. How did they verify it? So they had a database. Two other edim would come and testify. The edim themselves could testify about their own. There's different ways you could do it. There's kulas and kiyum shtaris, because kiyum shtaris is only a din rabbanan. But after bezdin verified it, they said that these edim were good edim, they would write the henpik, sharta, these are all synonyms of the same thing. On the document itself, they would say that we verified it, and this shtar is good. The edim themselves are good. So if you left space between the signatures of the edim and the asharto, said Rav, I feel the tuvanami kosher. Even if you would have more than two lines, even then it's going to be okay. So this idea that hirchik shnei shitin puzzle, it's a brisa, that's only true between the ksav, between the document itself and the edim. But between the edim and the hempik, it's going to be okay. Says the Gemara, Maishon, the edim l'ksav. What's the reason we said that if you have two lines of space between the edim and the shtar, the halach is that the shtar is possible. Because you worry that the person will just add language during those two lines, and he already has edim signs, he can end up with a puzzle shtar. Freak the Gemara ben edim la sharte nami mazayif v'kosam adiboy v'chsimi sadi. You could do the same thing, and even though you don't have edim in that area, you'll forge edim. Now, usually forging edim doesn't get you far. Why? Because you have to be mekayim the chasimas. But here I already have the kiyum, I have the hempik, I have the asharta, it's written in the shtar. So just like you're telling me you can't have two lines in between the document and the edim, because you'll just add language, you'll just put there whatever you want to put there, and you already have the chasimos, you should have the same exact concern between the chasimos and the henpik. There you'll have to add one more piece. You'll have to add the edim, but it's not a problem. Because ordinarily what prevents people from just forging a shtar with fake edim is that you need kiyum chasimos. That's the whole purpose of kiyum chasimos, to prevent that from happening. But here I have the kiyum. It's written in the shtar. So being that it's written in the shtar, I have that, it shouldn't be a problem. Says the Gemara, you're right. Rav will tell you, the only time I said that if you have two lines of empty space between the edim and the asharta, it's okay, is the metayatle, when you mark off that whole area. You pour some ink on it, so it's not possible for you to write anything. Okay, so really there's no chilek between the space between the shtar and the edim and the space between the edim and the henpik. Because just like you could be metayit the area between the edim and the hempik, you could be metayit the area between the shtar and the edim, do the same thing. Amri, Mar says, no, it's very, very different. What Rav was saying was that if you would have a shtar, and then beneath the shtar, you would have tiut, you would have an area that's blank, but somebody poured ink over it, and then the edim signed beneath that, the halacha would be the shtar of the apostle. You know why? Because we could say, sahadi atiyuta hu dechasimi. Maybe when the edim signed, they weren't even signing on the document. They were signing on the tiyut. They were signing on the fact that this shtar, somebody poured ink on it. Makes no sense. It sounds silly. It's true. But maybe that's what happened. But they Dino atiyuto by Bezdin loichasimi. That's something that Bezdin want to do. So Edom, there's a concern that maybe they would sign on this tiyuta, and it would turn the whole shtar into a joke. Meaning they'll say that, yeah, we were never really, oh, you thought we were signing on the shtar? No, we were just signing that we saw the ink fall on the shtar. We thought it was funny and we just signed on that, whatever. But the point is something silly. But as far as Bezdin doesn't get involved in silly things. Bezdin, if they're signing on the bottom of a shtar, there's a document that says somebody loaned somebody $10,000. And then this tiyuta, this poured ink, the henpik is not related to the tiyuta. And however you want to twist your mind that maybe that's what they, Bezdin doesn't do that. They don't roll that way. Aiden, maybe, but Bezdin, certainly not. And it's for that reason that in and of itself wouldn't be a concern. But the Gemara asks another kasha. Why aren't we concerned that maybe the person will cut off the top of the shtar, you have to halk up, and he'll erase the port ink, the cuss of my debai, and he's going to write whatever he wants to write on top of that area, umachsim sahadi, and he's going to sign it there. Okay, Rav said halacha, hirchik shnei shitin, this is what the Braisa says, that if there's two lines worth of space on a shtar, the halacha is blank space, the shtar is puzzled, that's only if that space was between the end of the shtar and where the Edom signed. There's a chash doma mezaif. But if the space was between where the Edom signed and the Asharta over there, it's going to be kosher. The Gemara says, why? Just like there's a chash doma mezaif when it's between the Shtar and the Edom, don't you have the same exact chash doma mezaif when it's between the Edom and the Asharta? The Gemara says, yeah, you certainly do. Rav only said as halacha when you metayed it, when you pour ink over it. You pour ink over it, you can't write anything. Oh, you can't write anything. It should be kosher there too. No, there we're concerned the Edom are going to say we were signing on the Tiyat. We weren't actually signing on the Shtar. But the Gemara asks the kasha, why aren't we concerned about something else? Why aren't we concerned that you may be moichik the Tiyat? After you moichik the Tiyat, you're going to go and write whatever you want to write, and you're going to sign Edom. Now, you'll...
Already a henpik.
What's that? And you have the henpik. So you have the same exact shash. So what are you going to tell me? Maybe once you erase a shtar, you can't write on top of the shtar. But the Gemara says that's not true, because Vama Rav said, shtar habahu ve'edav alamcha, kosher. If you have a shtar, and the shtar is written on an erased document, meaning you could see that it had been previously erased, and the Edom also signed on the erased document, then it's fine. So at the end of the daf, the end of the next daf, we're going to see that it could be if the shtar was written on an erased piece of paper and the Edom not, and the Edom was signed on an erased piece of paper and the shtar wasn't, it could be there it would be problematic. But where everything is on an erased piece of paper, side the shtar, side the Edom, over there the halacha is that it's kosher. So you have a gevaldik chashash. The chashash, you're going to cut off the top of the document, you're going to erase the tiyuta, you're going to write a shtar with the Edom, all on the mchak, that's kosher, and you have the asharta, so you'll be able to forge your Edom. Says the Gemara, honich, the Rav Kana, the Maslam, the Shmein, according to Rav Kana, that said this halacha, that who the Eid of Alam Chak Kosher in the name of Shmuel Shaper? Because you can't ask me a kasha on Rav from Shmuel. Rav was the one that said that two shuros between the Edom and Asharta is kosher. Shmuel is the one that said that who the Eid of Alam Chak is going to be kosher. El Rav Tavyumi, the Master of the Shmuel, Rabbi Kuntra, that said that it was Rav that said it. Mayikala Meimar, Saptik Moraka, Sovar Kolki, I gavne ima kaimen oisa min Asharta Shabai, Elamina Edom Shabai. Meaning, when Rav said this halacha of who the Edom Amcha kosher, he was halting cup with all his halachas that he shared with the Seifrim. He had his kitzah Shulchan Aruch that he gave to the Seifrim. He knew everything. He knew that he told the Seifrim that if there's two lines in between the Edom and Asharta, as long as you pour ink over it, this tiyut on top of it, the shtar would be kosher. He also knew that halach is that shtar haba hu ve'edav alam chak kosher. He also was able to make the cheshbon that the Gemara was able to make. This is Rav. He realized that there's a chash over here. Because what prevents somebody from writing something or erasing the tiyuta, writing on top of it, hu ve'edav alam chak is going to be kosher, and you have the asharta, it's already there. So you can have a serious problem over here. So what Rav told the Seifrim was that the only time I'm going to allow hu ve'edav alam chak is going to be if they don't rely on the asharta. So he said, it's true, you could do it. I have no problem with the shtar per se, when who is the eid of az alam chak. But I agree that you won't be able to rely on the asharta, assuming the asharta is on a niyar chalak, is on a piece of paper, or it's on a part of the paper that hadn't been erased. In that case, you'd have to do a new kiyam. So if you want to do a new kiyam, it's going to be fine. What's the chash you're going to rely on the asharta? There's no chash, because Rav said a third halacha. In this case, ein mekayim min oisai, min asharta shabai, elo min ha edem shabai. Clear? So again, Rav is saying a chidush that when the Braisa said two lines is possible, it's only if it's between the ksav and the eid. But if it's between the eidim and the asharta, it's going to be kosher. He qualified it by saying it's only going to be kosher if you put tiyut on top of it. Even if you put tiyut on it, didn't Rav say, some said, Shmuel was the one that said it, but didn't some say that Rav said that if you're moichik, a document, and the shtar and the edim are both on top of the niyar machok. The halacha is its kosher. So, what prevents him from erasing the tiyuta, writing whatever he wants to write, forging signatures, and you have the asharta on the bottom, it's going to be kosher. The teretz is, Rav says that kol kai gavna. When you have such a situation, you have a shtar and edim written on a niyar machok, and you have an asharta on the bottom of it, on a niyar chalok, you can't rely on the asharta. If you can't rely on the asharta, then you have nothing to worry about.
Right?
What's that?
The shtar that's already been from based in,
right,
the same issue.
A shtar that's already mekuyim from Bez, right? Well, you'd have this problem. Right, it's a good point. Meaning every, he's asking a great kasha. I think Tosfos asked the kasha. Every single time you have a shtar mekuyim, you should have the same exact shash.
Right.
You have a shtar mekuyim, just erase the whole top of it, write whatever you want on top, who ve'ed of, and it's Tosfos kasha. And you'll be good to go. I mean, the Gemara is like asking this kasha as like a chap in the sugyo where Rav said a chiddush about shnei shitin. Excellent kasha. Either way, Zok Tigmar Rav Yechon, and Amar Rav Yechon said a different qualification. Again, the Braisa said two lines is possible. Anything less than two lines is kosher. Rav Yechon said, Lashanu, this is only true. Ela ben Edom l'ksav. Between the Edom and the ksav. Like Rav. Aval ben Edom l'asharta. What about between Edom l'asharta? So what did Rav say? Ben Edom l'asharta, as long as you put Tiyuta over there, it could be 100 lines. I have no problem. He said just the opposite. Ben Edom Lashat, it's more chamra. Filo Shita Achas Pasol. Even one Shita is going to be Pasol. Tosfos is not sure whether he's talking even when there was Tiyuta, or maybe he's talking Dafka when there's no Tiyuta. If he's talking Dafka when there's no Tiyuta, then it could be he's not arguing with Rav. Because Rav also only said that there'd be a Maila between the Edom and the Asharta if there was Tiyuta. But if there's no Tiyuta, not. But either way, says the Gemara, Maishna Ben Edom Lashata, Rabbi Yechon. Why do you hold that between Edom Lashata Asharta, even one line is possible, because you're concerned, Dilma Gai is Leeloi. You're worried that you may cut off the top of the shtar, because of Huva Eda Beshita Achas, and you're going to, on this, even one line, you're going to write the shtar and the Eden, because Sovar, and you hold shtar Habo, Huva Eda Beshita Achas, kosher. You're worried that a shtar that's Huva Eda Beshita Achas is kosher. Now, why is this a chiddush? That a shtar that it and the Eden are signed on one line is kosher. Why would you think it's kosher? Shtar has to be 12. Get Isha needs to be 12 lines. Shtar has to be 12 lines. It has to be 40 lines. It has to be 3 lines. The reason it's a chiddush is because we said Ein Lameda Meshita Achreina. So if Ein Lameda Meshita Achreina and the whole shtar is one line, then maybe the whole shtar should be possible. But stating that, the Rashbam speaks this out, you see that that's only true if the Edom are not on the same line. So the Shita Achreina, if it doesn't have Edom, all it has is information, then it's going to be possible. But if Hu Ve'edov are both Beshita Achas, in that case, it's going to be kosher. So why, says the Gemara, would Rabbi Yochanan say that even one line blank would be a problem between the Edom and the Asharta? Presumably, because you're concerned that you may cut off the top of the shtar. You're going to write, Hu ve'edov b'shita achas. You're going to have the Asharta on the bottom. You're going to end up with a kosher shtar. Ihochi oibazoi ben Edom l'ksav nami ben Edom l'ksav. Why aren't you concerned about the same thing? Why ben Edom l'ksav do we say that if there's one line it's kosher? Because ein lameidim shita achreina. It's only if there's two lines that it's going to be possible. Even one line should be possible because you may write information and you'll also write Edom. Dil megayis leiloi v'kosa maidaboy v'chsimi sahadi. Now, why did you think that there would have been different? Because there you have the Edom already. So were you writing Edom again? But yeah, maybe that's what he's going to do. Maybe he'll add Edom. The point is, he knows that if the Edom are on the shita achreina, you could learn from it. This whole idea that one line is not a problem. Why not? Because Eilam Eidam B'Shita Achreina. To the extent that you're telling me that if it's Hu Ve'edav B'Shita Achas, then the halacha is that you could learn from the Shita Achrayna. So just like a Shita Achas is a problem between the Eden and the Asharta, because you're concerned you may write who the Eden of B'Shita Achas, then it should be a problem between the Ksav and the Eden as well. Because even though you have Eden, you may add an Eden on that one Shita, you won't have the Eden of Eden B'Shita Achrayna, you're going to end up with a Shtar that's possible. Says the Gemara, Savar, Rabbi Yechanan must have held that Shtar Haba, who B'Shita Achas, the Eden of B'Shita Acher is possible. That if he is on one Eden, the Eden on another Eden is going to be possible. Gemara speaks out what I just spoke out. But maybe we should be concerned that he's going to write on that one line the information he wants to write with the Edom. I have Edom on Ba'adim for Amra and all the rabbis for Edom Huda. Avdi, Sova, Kolki, I Gavno, Eim, Mekai, Menoisei, Mene Edom Shalomato, Elo, Mene Edom Shalomalo. Rabbi Yechon held that if you're going to have a shtar where you're going to have one line, who the Edom, and then on Ba'adim you're going to have more Edom, we're never going to rely on the Edom on the bottom, we're going to only rely on the Eden Belamayla. So there's no chash you're going to forge it, because if you forge it, you're going to have no way to be Mekayim it. You're not going to be able to end up using your shtar. Zok to Gemara, Vayter, Daf Kuf, Samach, Dalet. It's already Wednesday. Amarav, Shtar Haba, Hu, the Edov Alam Chak. Kosh, you have a shtar. Hu, the Edov Alam Chak. We said the halacha was kasha. So you have a piece of paper, it was clearly erased. Something else was once written there, they erased it. And now you wrote a shtar on top of it. As long as the shtar, the etzem shtar, and the edim are all on the mechak, it's okay. The imtayim, I'm afraid to Gemara, why are you worried that moichek v'chayzeru moichek? Very obvious chash. To the extent that the niyar is already machuk, so why are you worried that you're going to erase the top part of it, you're going to leave the edim there, you're just going to write whatever you want. It says the Gemara, it's not a chashash, because in yidoyim nimchak pamachas lenimchak shtei pamim. You can tell the difference between where it's machuk one, the kasha was that once it's erased, I'll just erase it and erase it and erase it. I'll add any information that I want to add. Terence says no. We can tell the difference. It's a very obvious nuance between something erased one time and something erased twice. Straight to v'leichas duma shadi diyusa amokim edem eikara umachikle. Maybe this person's going to be a cheverman. Before the edem sign, he's going to write something. Then he's going to erase it. Then he's going to erase the entire shtar. See, we'll have already erased the mokim ha'edim twice, so that when he erases the top part of the shtar, the second time, they're going to look the same. It's not going to look different, so that you're not going to have the inu doyman nimchak pamachas le'nimchak shtei pa'amim, says the Gemara. Le'chosh dumo shodi diyus ha'mokim edim me'kara u'machik le'tichad u'machik le'lahai hava le'idi ve'idi nimchak shtei pa'amim. Amar Abaya said, k'sav ha'rab in edim chayis v'amchak elon ki nimchak b'fnei. No, they don't do that. Edim know before they sign if it was erased, if it wasn't erased. So they're going to have a cheshbon, they're going to know exactly what's going on. Meisvei. Samar asks a kash. Again, on Rav's halacha, what was Rav's halacha? That who the eight of Allah Mechak kosher. So Mara asks a kasher from a Bryce. Who Alana Yar? If the shtar itself was written on a clean piece of paper, the eid of Alam Chak, but the eidim was signed on a part of paper that was previously erased. Kosher. That loch is its kosher. What's the kasher? V'nechesh, why aren't we worried? Dilma machikle, because of my debay. Let's be afraid that he's going to erase the top part. He's going to write whatever he wants. The shtar is going to be kosher. Why? Because v'havelei hu ve'ed of alam chak. Hu ve'ed of alam chak. What's the halacha? The shtar is kosher. So you're going to end up with a kosher shtar. It's a big problem. Says the Gemara. You're right. But the kos v'hochi. Anachna sahado chasam namachka v'shtara kosov alaniyara. Edim that sign on such a document where they're signing on the mokim hamachak, and the shtar itself is written on a makam chaluk, they're going to acknowledge, they're going to anticipate that this may be able to happen, and they're going to address it. They're going to write very clearly that we wrote on the chaluk that was machuk, that was on a chaluk that was yours. If later you pick up the shtar, and you see that it's a hu ve'ed of alam chak, ordinarily it's kosher, but if the edim clearly say that we signed on a shtar that was written on a niyar chaluk, then obviously it's going to be okay. But the Gemara says, the kasvi hechi, where'd you write it? There's a technical difficulty. I mean, this whole parak has been technical so far. If they're going to write it on the bottom, guys, you'll just cut it off. And Eloi, if you write it on the top, machikle, you're just going to erase it. Isn't the whole point we're talking about? We're afraid you're going to erase the shtar. See, you're going to erase that to one of shach. They write it on the bottom, let's just take it out. And if they're going to write it on top, they're going to erase it anyway. So the kasvi bein sahada l'sahada. in between the two signatures of the Edom, that's where you write it. So we were really concerned. You tuck it there. There's no issue. I'll ask you another question. If the shtar itself was written on a mechak and the edav was signed on a yar, possible, right? The first part of the brisa was who on the yar, the edav al mechak kasher. So the shtar on a yar, the edav al mechak is kasher. Now we're talking about the reverse, where the shtar was on the mechak and the edav was signed on the yar. There it's possible. Fate the Gemara, am I possible? Why is it possible? There's always an eight. So whatever chash you're worried about, I can get out of it. Nichtavu hachi, let them just write. Anachnu sahado, chasamno al niyara, vishtara al machka. Says the Gemara, my amrit, what are you going to tell me? I know what you're going to tell me. Meichik, you're going to go ahead, chayzeru meichik. You're going to erase it again. Again, what happened over here? The shtar itself was written on the mechak. The edim was signed on the niyar. The Edom are going to write that we know that the shtar was written on the mechak. How does that help me? It doesn't help me. Because you're going to be meichik a second time. Can't you be meichik a second? So what are you going to tell me? You'll be meichik a second. Amri, but the Gemara says that shouldn't be an issue. Why? Because we said, Ein Edom nimchak pamachas and nimchak shtei pamim. So let the Edom say that we signed on a chelek chalek. That's true. The shtar itself was on a machuk. And it was machuk one time. So that if you go now and you machuk it again, it'll be obvious that there's something wrong. Because didn't we say, Einoy doimen nimchak pamachas and nimchak shtei pamin? What did we say? We said it on the top of the yomit. Says the Gemara, no. There's a difference between what we said on the top of the yomit and what we're saying over here. Hani mili, there on the top of the yomit was a case where heichet echsimi sadi amchak. Heichet echsimi sadi amchak, elan yar lo yadir. On top we had a shtar where everything was written on a niyar machuk. The shtar was written on a niyar machuk, and the edim was signed on a niyar machuk. The chash was, aren't you worried about erasing the top and rewriting whatever you want? Someone says, no. You know why? Because it's ein edoyma nimchak pamachas or nimchak shtei pamim. When you look at this document, what are you going to see? You're going to see the top of it was erased twice. The bottom was erased. They were both erased. So the contrast between the top of the piece of paper and the bottom of the piece of paper is going to be obvious. See, even though they were both erased, one was erased once, one was erased twice. So there's going to be a very obvious difference between the top and the bottom. And as a result, we'll see the difference. But in this case, hu ala machuk, the edim ala niyar. The top, the shtar itself was written on a niyar machuk. The edim signed on a niyar chaluk. We're concerned that maybe you're going to erase the top again and write whatever you want. So you say, me no. Because isn't there a difference between something that was erased once, something was erased twice? Yeah, that's true when you see the contrast. Where on one piece of paper, part of it was erased once and part of it was erased twice, there's a contrast. There I can see the difference. But if I don't have something erased once, something erased twice on the same piece of paper, I have a part of paper that wasn't erased at all and a part of paper that was erased, if it was erased once or twice or three times, I'll never know the difference. So that's why, says the Gemara, you don't have the chilek. In the first case, where the Gemara said the Svara, it was where the Edom had also signed on the mechak. So you're chayish that maybe you're going to erase the shtar a second time. I'll see the difference. Because I have two things that were erased on the same piece of paper. One once, one twice. Einoy doima nimchak pamachas l'nimchak shtei pamim. But where the edim are signed on a blank piece of paper, nothing erased, and the top part is the only part that's erased, I have nothing to compare it to. It's not like I have something erased once, something erased twice. I have something erased, something wasn't erased at all. The chelik that was erased, I'll have no way of knowing how many times it was erased. So that, says the Gemara, should be a real chash. So, hu alam chak, the edav al niyar is going to be possible. You know why it's possible? Because you may erase it again and again and again. Let the edim just say that we know it was erased once. You'll have no way of knowing. When you look at the shtar, if it was erased once or erased twice, you'll think it was erased once. Where really, perhaps it was erased more than one time. But the Gemara says, no, I still have an etzah. Why? V'leisi megilta achriti v'limchak. Why can't we bring another piece of paper, erase that one time, and let's compare it now. So we'll know, was this shtar erased once, like the Edom said it had been when they signed on it? Or maybe it was erased already a second time. But the Gemara says, Lo'idami machka d'hai megolta l'machka d'hai megolta. Different papers look different. So it could be, just because this paper looks this way when it was erased once, doesn't mean that paper is going to look that way when it was erased once. Freit the Gemara, v'l'kablo l'chassimus yoda d'sahadi b'beidino, v'limchak v'lidmi. Let's erase over where the edim signed. Let's experiment with the paper itself. Now you're going to tell me, if you're going to erase the chesimus, the neyar chalak part of the shtar, that's where the edim sign. You're going to lose the chesimus. You're not going to lose the chesimus. We'll be makabel the edis in Bezdin. Bezdin will transfer it somewhere else. So the person will still have his edis, and we could start experimenting with this piece of paper. This you're going to experiment on today. This was just erased the second time today. The other one maybe happened a month ago. Okay, leave it in Bezdin. Let's let it sit there a little bit of time. This is already a confusing experiment. It's much simpler to say pasul. That's just a much easier way out. So what's the bottom line? If you have a shtar, and the shtar has a part of it that clearly was erased, piece of paper that was previously erased, now it says somebody loaned somebody $1 million. So there's a lot at stake over here, but this somebody tampered with this piece of paper. Does that mean the shtar is just dead on arrival? Bring me a clean piece of paper, hire an attorney, do it right, come to me and we'll make this happen. Or no, maybe a neyar machuk, maybe it could work. So we began with Rav's halacha. Rav said that who? The edov alamchak kasher. He surprisingly said, it's okay. I don't care if the piece of paper was once erased. I don't have an issue with that. As long as who the edov, everything is under the chelek hamachok, it's absolutely going to be kosher. Aren't you worried that you'll erase the top part a second time and a third time? I'm not worried about that. It sounds like we're living a little dangerously, but Rav doesn't have a problem with that. Rav says it's okay. I have absolutely no issue with that. Stating that, we saw there's a braisa that a braisa says that it could be sometimes this will be an issue. How so? Who, if the edim themselves, if the shtar itself, who ala niyar ve'edav al-mchak, that will also be kosher? I mean, if the shtar itself was on the niyar and the edim al-mchak, that will also be kosher? If it was hu al-mchak, ve'edav al-niyar, there it will be possible. So we can exhale a little bit. So the Mishnah said that there were chilukim between a get pashut and a get mekusher. What were the differences? So get pashut, edav mitoichoy, get mekusher, edav mea choyrov. Additionally, the get pashut required two edim, the get mekusher required three edim. The Mishnah said, pashut should cost for edim mea choyrov. You had a get pashut where the edim sign mea choyrov, or a mekusher, you had a get mekusher should cost for edav mitoichoy, shneim psulim. Chanim Gamliel said, mekusher shekos ve'edim mitoichoy kosher. If you have a get mekusher where the edim signed on the front of the document, it's still going to be kosher, mipnei sheyachol la'soysoy poshut, because you have the ability to turn it into a get poshut. How so? You just smoothen it out, and you can turn it into a get poshut. Says the Gemara, heishiv Rebbe l'divrei Chanim Gamliel, Rebbe asked the following kasha on Rebbe Chanim Gamliel, how could you tell me you could just convert a get mekusher into a get pashut, as if, what's the big deal? All you need to do is unknot it, unsew it, just smoothen it out. It's not so simple. Rebbe said there's another chilik between a get pashut and a get mekusher, and that was regarding this man. Pashut, a get pashut, melech shana, moinon leishan. When they used to write this man in a shtar, so how would they write this man? It was based on the king that reigned at that time. It's the first Mishnah, Mesechtes Rosh Hashanah, Echad B'Nisan, Rosh Hashanah, L'Malachim, Malchi Yisrael, Malchi Masa'ilam, Echad B'Tishrei, Rav Chizda, Rosh Hashanah. That's the first sugya that you learn in Mesechtes Rosh Hashanah. But they used to relate this man, not to Bria Sa'ilam, not 2017, right? They used to relate it to the king that reigned at that time. But a Melech Pashut, it would go exact. So let's say it was King Henry, and this is the third year of his reign, so they would write the third year to the reign of whichever King Henry it was. If it was first year, Meinu Leishana. Shtayim, if it was the second year, Meinu Leishtayim. Get Mekusher, however, Melech Shana Meinu Leishtayim. They would do it a little bit differently. So if it was this first year in his reign, they would write as if it was the second year. Shtayim, Meinu Leishtayim. The Gemara is going to say later that the Umis Oilam used to do it that way. That's the way the non-Jews used to do it. The Yidden had their way of doing it. But by Get Mekusher, they adapted the minig of the Umis Oilam. Why? The same theme of everything related to the Get Mekusher, just to throw us off. We want it to be complicated to write the Get Mekusher. It should be tedious. It should be a little bit confusing. It's a curveball. That's the whole point. The point is to make it a little bit more challenging because we're stalling. That's the whole yisrael of the Get Mekusher. It's asr the kahane the kapti. We want it to be a little bit more difficult. But either way, Rebbe told Rabbi Chanan and Gamliel that how could you tell me that if I have a Get Pashur, Get Mekusher, that Eidav is mitoichoy, it doesn't necessarily mean the Get's going to be possible. The get could really be kosher. Why could the get be kosher? Because I could always convert the get mekusher into the get pashut. It's not true. There's a fundamental difference between the get pashut and the get mekusher. What's the difference? This man. The get pashut, they work based on what year this melech has actually been ruling. Get mekusher, they post-dated a full year. So what's the problem? The chash is, v'zimnin de yosef minezuzi, b'mekusher. A person is going to borrow money based on a get mekusher. U'misrami lezuzi beni beni, and he's going to pay it. Uparale. Va'amale havli shtiroi, and then the lev is going to tell the malva, I just paid you, I want my shtar. Va'amale irchisli, he says, I don't have it, I lost it. Because of leitavra. So what do you do when you lose a shtar? You give him a receipt. V'chimot is mane, mashvile pashut. What this person is going to do, he has a receipt that says that he paid it, but the date is based on the makusher. So it's as if it happened a year later, but assuming that it was a get mekusher, so everything happened this year. The problem is you're going to now convert the get mekusher into a get pashut, so it's going to look like the loan happened a year later, because the year that it says in it is a year later. Now, if we're treating it as a get mekusher, even though it's post-dated, we know that it really took place a year earlier. But if it's now a get pashut, now it looks like it happened a year later. So it looks like I borrowed money again. So the shaver that I'm going to have, this receipt that I'm going to have, is going to be worth. This shaver in kaisvin shaver. He must be opinion of in kaisvin shaver, right? It's machlekes and shas. Kaisvin shaver in kaisvin shaver comes up in mesachtes ksubas a lot. So obviously, machlekes and held in kaisvin shaver. And if you go to your malva and you pay up the loan, the malva says irchesli. Well, you better find a buddy, because otherwise you're not getting paid. That's the way it works. You're not going to get your money back. So, ain't kaisvish, this whole chash is kaisvish shaver. Ain't kaisvish shaver, nothing to worry about. He's going to give you a shtar back, you're going to rip it up. You can't make it from a makusher into a pashur, from a pashur into a makusher. There's absolutely nothing to worry about. Zokti Gemara, umi baki Rebbe be makusher. Rebbe seemed to have been a big baki be get makusher, right? He argued in Rabbi Chanina Gamliel. He said that you can make Mekusher into a pashut. He says you can't, because this does man is azai, that one does man is azai. Freak the Gemara, Rebbe all of a sudden became the expert in get mekusher. Who mekusher does like Rebbe? There was a get mekusher came before Rebbe. Vama Rebbe, Rebbe said shtar meucher zeh. Rebbe was very bothered with the shtar, even though shtar meucher is kosher, but he was bothered. He said it's a shtar meucher because he saw this man was a year later. Vama le zoinin le Rebbe says zoinin, who was a chacham, told Rebbe kach min hagar shalum azu. The Umay Sa'olam, this is what they do. That Melech Shana, Meinon L'Shtayim. If the king, in his first year of his reign, they write it as if it was the second year. Shtayim, if it's the second year, Meinon L'Shalish. They write it as if it was already his third year. And he told them that to get Mekusha, the Chachamim instituted, you should write in that very same way. But the point is, you see that Rebbe wasn't familiar with the get Mekusha. We had this in the beginning of the parak, right? Rebbe saw get Mekusha, he didn't even know what his man was. And they unfolded it. Rebbe was not familiar with the get Mekusha. And here in our Gemara, Rebbe is varfing Kiyas when it comes to the get mekusher. Did Rebbe not know what the get mekusher was? Or did Rebbe Yeh know what the get mekusher was? So the Gemara says, very obvious answer. He once didn't know, and then he knew. Basud the Shaman Mizaydin, Sarva. Yeah, he was already using what he had heard from Zaydin. Now Rebbe already became the expert. Says the Gemara, who started the Habakasabe Bishnas Pliny Arkland? There was a star that said that there was a loan that took place, Bishnas Pliny, the fourth year, making up a year, to Melech Pliny, King Henry, and it said the word Arkon. Arkon. Amr Abchanina. So Abchanina said, "Yibadek emosai omad arkon ba'archenuse." And what he meant to say was that arkon is a term that's used to describe the first year of a melech. So that the loan must have taken place in the first year of King Henry's reign. Arkon. So the Rashbam says that Arkon zeh belach. B'shon rishayin currently Arkon k'dele kamon l'fisha ata mesuken hu kemoi orich oiloi orich. Quotes a pasuk in Sefer Ezra. But either way, there's some biblical makar to this idea that Arkon would mean the first. But the Gemara says v'doma. Maybe that's not what it means. Maybe it means the orich malchusei. Maybe it's midlashon orich, long, that he was already king for a very long time. Rav Hoshia kach min hagash alum azu shana rishayna koyin le arkon. If you look at the Umay Sa'olam and the secular documents, they use the word arkon to describe the first year of a king's reign. Shnia koyin le digun, the second year, they would call it digun. Feit the Gemara v'dilma avure avruhu. Maybe this king was king, and then he became not king. V'hadrak mu, and then he became, sounds like the Israeli prime minister, right? Then he became king again. So maybe this is, he's king now, some tzveitin mal, Rav Yirmiya. Hu arkon digun karli. They would call it arkon digun. It's arkon. It's the first year of his reign, but digun, it's some tzveitin mal. It's the second go-around, the madura tinyana of when he became king. Tan rabban and hareini nazir hina. If somebody says, I want to be a nazir hina, sumcha samar hina, achas. It's one naziras. Digun, if he says the word digun, shtayim. Trigun, that's gimel, that's three. Tatrigun, that's arba. Pentagon, that's chamesh. Now you know how to count the five in Greek. So either way, is if somebody says, Areni nazir, hina, basically use the Greek number to describe how many naziris he wants to take upon himself, it's okay. The chiddush is that you can use Greek when you're makabel naziris. And that's the chur, the first mission of Masechtas Nazir. Kol kinuye naziris ki naziris. What's kinuye? Machlekes Rabbi Yechon Reish Lakish, whether it's Lashon Umois or Lashon Shabbat Olam Chachamim. So you have to know what the chiddush is. So that's really more of a Masechtas Nadarim. So it's Tanur Rabbanan, Beis Agul. If somebody has a house that's round, or digun, trigun, pentigun, it's not metame tumas negam. So a bias could become tummy tumas negam, but if it's a bias that's ogle, digun, trigun, pentagon, it can't be metame benagon. Tatrigun, metame benagon. Says the Gemara, what are these things? First of all, ogle means it's round, digun means it has two corners, trigun is three corners, pentagon is five, tatrigun, which is metame, that's four. Minan imili, the Tanur Rabbanu, the Milo Oimer, it says in Parshas Tazria, V'ro'as ha-nega, v'hinei ha-nega, b'kirois ha-bayis. Kir, it could have said the word kir. Instead it said, kirois, shtayim. Teach me two walls, two corners. L'mata oimer, again, kirois. It says, v'shov ha-koyim v'yim ha-shvi, v'ro, v'hinei posay ha-nega, b'kirois ha-bayis. It could have said kir, and it says, kirois, shtayim, harei kan, arba. So that's how we learn four walls.